Center and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A Trump-appointed federal judge has blocked the White House from deploying National Guard troops to Oregon. The judge questioning lawyers for the administration, asking if they were purposefully circumventing her order by sending Guard members from California and Texas to the state. Now, troops from any state are barred from going there. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson.
This is yet another unnecessary and inflammatory attempt by the president to deploy outside troops in Portland where no intervention is warranted.
Illinois is also fighting orders by the Trump White House to send the National Guard to Chicago. Negotiators from the U.S., Israel, and Hamas all meeting in Egypt this week to discuss the ceasefire agreement on the table now. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
It was President Trump's plan. Hamas says that it accepted the deal. Now the onus is on Hamas.
The Nobel Prize in Medicine awarded to three researchers in the field of immune tolerance. This is ABC News.
4WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A former dean at UW-Richland has died. Donald Gray died at the age of 83 in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Don worked as dean of UW-Richland, where he appreciated the students and their humor, especially when they filled his entire office with balloons. He moved to Madison in 1988, where he worked until retirement with the UW-Madison Foundation, raising funds for multiple projects and buildings that would literally help reshape the campus for generations to come. A celebration of Don's life will be held at Tower Light Senior Living in St. Louis Park, Minnesota, on Saturday, November 1st from 1 until 2:30, followed by a memorial service at 2:30. Concerning poll findings regarding political violence in the U.S., a new Marquette Law School national poll finds Americans deeply divided over political violence. The poll taken after the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk did show 58% of respondents saying it is always unacceptable to be happy about the death of someone they oppose, and 89% saying political violence is always unjustified. But the poll showed partisan divides. Among Republicans, 57% say left-wing violence is the bigger problem, while 50% of Democrats see right-wing violence as the bigger problem. Democratic state lawmakers are proposing an abortion accessibility act following Planned Parenthood's pause on providing abortion services in Wisconsin. Representative Lisa Subek of Madison says the bill would remove various restrictions but does not change the Planned Parenthood situation. She said the medically unnecessary restrictions put in place by Republicans mean that many providers are either unable or unwilling to provide abortions. Subek announced the bill Wednesday along with State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Game two is tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs in the NLDS. Milwaukee winning game one, 9-3 on Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Well, I mean, we're down 1-0. Nothing else changes besides that. It's 1-0. I don't think, I'm not sure we'd manage the game differently on Monday, up 1-0, down 1-0. So it I'm not sure it does. We made it harder for ourselves. We got to win 3 out of 4 now. They got to win 2 out of 4. That's it.
The Cubs will start Shota Imanaga. Brewers manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Murph, what are your pitching plans?
Yeah, Ashby's going to start. I don't know if Priester will be next. I really don't.
NFL, the Packers back at work after having a bye week. They host the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time. Maybe a rumble of thunder as well. A high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday. A high of 65. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabe. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now. But,
what about, what does the Fox say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox say? Or Gondenthal?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's songs. Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from Dallas, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Man, he played that so straight. I mean, just that was professional. That was some good stuff out of Parker Olson.
Well, thank you.
Hey,
that's certainly strong.
Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, October 6, 2025. It's, I'm sure, another beautiful morning up north. It's a much warmer morning down here in Texas, but nice to have you here from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or watching us on social media, catching us as an app, or all the other ways to join us, where, again, kind of continue the seasonal tour of Daughters, and that would include that pit stop in Nashville late last week for a conference, and now down here in Dallas, where I don't know the origin of the term Dallas, but I believe its Latin root is the eternal quest for shade. You're just all the time looking for the next shady spot because it's hot. It's just always hot down here. Whereas Alicia puts on YouTube, it's a little rainy in Shawano. Yes, apparently the front went through over the weekend, and bye-bye summer is the situation, apparently, Parker, same as you in Madison, I would imagine.
I don't know. I almost got a sunburn on Saturday at the Whitewater game because it was so nice.
Yeah, that was Saturday, but then this front came through on Sunday. And
I guess.
From what I see, the temperatures in the Chippewa Valley, it was 87 degrees on Saturday afternoon at about 4 o'clock. On Sunday, yesterday, it was about 80 degrees at 1 o'clock. But that might be the last 80s for a little bit here. So
that's fine.
Keep that in mind. Apparently, the gusty winds have died down. And now they're talking about maybe some frost on Wednesday morning. So you know what we say about the theater of seasons. You don't like the weather. Just wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it'll be here. So I guess the hoodies will be coming out. The forecast notes temperatures will warm up again later in the week, but not be nearly as warm as what was seen last week. So when last we left producer Parker Olson, he was facing this quandary. The Brewers Cubs game was going to be game one, was going to be Saturday afternoon, as he was also watching his beloved UW Whitewater football team. Were you able to multitask successfully?
Multitasking was fairly successful. Did not get to really watch the Brewers, but I was looking at the score, had that on my phone, checking now and then. They were also doing updates in the stadium at Whitewater, which was very nice. And it was always good to hear a good little cheer from the crowd, because in that territory, you never really know if that's more Cubs fan or Brewer fans.
So. That's true. It's just close enough to the border, shall we say.
Yeah.
And I can say that I didn't see a single bit of game one because that was our travel day. And I thought, being at the airport in Nashville, you know, there's plenty of places to eat and drink and with TVs on. And I thought somewhere somebody would have a TV on with playoff baseball. It's playoff baseball.
It's
also Nashville. And so there was nothing but college football everywhere. And nobody was going to be turning their TV off their particular favorite college football game. So I was simply following on the phone, seeing that the Cubs had jumped up, leadoff home run, 1-0 in the top of the first. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. But here we go was what you should have said about the Brewers when they came up. Instead, I was, I'm just, again, sitting there having lunch in the airport going, all right, well, it's now 4-0. Okay, it's now 6-0. And, I mean, they even brought in Aaron Civale.
I know.
Aaron Civale, who left the Brewers in a huff, went to the lowly White Sox, somehow is on the Cubs roster now. He got tagged for a run right away, but then Jackson Churio went out with that hamstring issue, which I guess we can call an issue, not an injury. It's not as bad as we feared, but still.
I am waiting to hear how his workouts yesterday went, because Murphy was like, the sky might be falling, and Churio was like, I'm fine. So,
my not so bold prediction is we won't see much of Jackson Churio except in the Kirk Gibson moment. And anybody who knows their baseball lore, you know, knows Kirk Gibson with two bad knees comes up for the Dodgers. What was that? 1990, something like that, you know, hits a home run, can barely make it around the bases as Jack Buck is saying, I don't believe what I just saw. And yeah, I don't know that Jackson's going to see a lot of action, but he'll get a pinch hit at just the right moment. He'll look like, what was the catcher's name in Major League? And at the end, he bunts and he's got to run the bunt out at the end of the movie there, and he just barely gets across first base. You know, what I predict.
There you go. I can see that happening. I wouldn't mind that happening.
Yeah. Let's see. From Roger and Stevens Point, Marshfield's Dalton Varsho had two home runs and two doubles in Toronto's 13-7 win over the Yankees. The Blue Jays are now up on the Yankees 2-0.
That also makes me very happy.
I know. Yes. Let's see. Alicia says, joke's on you. My hoodie never gets put away. Well, yeah, that I mean,
fair.
There's some parts of the state where you do have to leave the hoodie out there full time. So. So we managed to not see game one while we were traveling. But, you know, again, it's nice to get out and about as we've been doing here. And yesterday that included once we got here to see my older daughter, our younger daughter also flew down. So we had both daughters and all four grandkids. And we went to they said we were going to this arcade. I'm like, oh, an arcade. Okay. Sounds interesting enough. This was a massive, because everything in Texas is big. I don't know if you know this. They'll tell you if you don't believe me.
That's what I hear.
This massive arcade filled with retro, like old school video games.
Oh, cool.
The stuff that I played 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You pay $10 at the door and that's it. No quarters. You just go to whatever games you want.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you play. I mean, there were hundreds of these that I haven't played in like 40 years. There was Galaga and there was Centipede and there was Donkey Kong and there were so many pinball machines. And it was just the best little trip through time watching these things. And I know both daughters and I think a couple of the grandkids just kind of rolled their eyes like it, you know, because now I'm the one who looks like the kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. And
I was going to say, I'm sure that was a day for the grandkids and it turned into a day for you.
Yes, it started off that way. Well, the six-year-old caught on to Pac-Man real fast.
Good.
And there were many versions of it. So there was like this tabletop version that was easy for us to play together. And he got good at it pretty quick here. So, you know, there was some fierce competition going on with Grandpa over who could do what with Pac-Man. But, oh, my goodness. I was completely blown away at how much stuff on there. I haven't played pinball in forever. Have you?
Boy, it's been a long time. I don't remember.
Okay.
I have. Don't give me that. I have.
Okay. No, that's what I'm saying. It's not really a thing anymore. But these machines were, by and large, you know, up to date and working fine. The animation, of course, is hilarious. I don't know the computer terminology for it. It's like 8-bit or whatever.
Oh,
I mean, you just, I mean, the old Atari pole position where, you know, every car goes up in flames and when it crashes, like, and yes, it sounds exactly like that.
That is the sound, yeah.
It was great. I was like, oh, man, if we could just, if there's, it was just a great trip back in time. I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could do that just a little bit more often? Or maybe just, you know, send some people back in time. I'm thinking of a particular president who was, you know, back in the 80s, he was more popular, you know, than he is now, but for, you know, different reason. Like, oh, he's that building guy. Not the guy that's sending, you know, troops into American cities and things like that. So there's times when it would really be nice to head back. I know, for example, my knees would feel much better if I could go back.
You wouldn't be able to predict the weather anymore with your knees.
No, because like there's a trampoline in the backyard here and I'm hearing, you know, grandpa, come jump on the trampoline. No, it's not that I don't want to, yeah. But it's like, you just know you'd come down wrong on something and pretty soon your knee or your back or something. And I know I'm sounding like I'm 80 years old. I'm not 80 years old.
No, but well, you're sounding
all it takes
a lot
is
more
one
cautious.
Little tweak and you're like, oh, okay, I need an ice pack now.
Yeah. You sound a lot more cautious than Dr. Lyerly. So that's probably a good thing.
That's really what I'm trying to do here. I'm being the cautious one over here. I did go through, and this was a couple years back. I did again with the daughters and the grandkids. We were on a beach someplace, and again, one of the younger grandkids, you know, wanted to play tag or whatever. And I'm running, and next thing you know, I just completely collapse on the beach, having pulled a hamstring. And so having to go get an ice pack and just stay in my beach chair for the rest of the day.
Aww.
And you're just so embarrassed. It's like, okay, well, this, you know, Father Time is still undefeated. So yeah, so I'm a little bit more careful now, but we'll see when Dr. Lyerly gets here in the next, you know, 15 minutes or so.
What shenanigans she's gotten up to.
Well, yeah, because now I did see at one point she put up a social media post about yard work, and she did talk about doing the yard work. So we'll see whether she did it or not. And then, of course, she'll tell us what's on her show, which is now on statewide across the Civic Media Network on Saturdays at noon. So, you know, she had another great episode this weekend, and will tell us what's coming up for the next one. She had all this extra time, of course, because the Packers were on a bye weekend.
This is true.
So that was nice. So we'd play. I didn't even put the note in front of me here, but next Sunday at 3:25. So we've got a little time for that. The Brewers, meanwhile, getting back to the National League Division Series, game two with the Cubs. Well, it's a late one. First pitch isn't until 8:08, I think. Yeah. And so the pregame will begin tonight at 7:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. And I already am dreading how tired I'm going to sound 24 hours from now. Though, again, I'm not going to stay up through the whole thing. And I'm thinking you might have learned your lesson now, having tried to stay up a couple of times and may not stay up for the
No, Pat, you give me too much credit. I'm not that smart.
And last I saw, they weren't going with a starting pitcher.
No.
They were going with a starter.
Opener, yeah.
An opener, yeah. Aaron Ashby is going to be the opener.
And I don't remember if it was, I think that I heard Murphy during Mike Clemens sports update a moment ago saying that Priester might not be the guy that gets the bulk of the game. So we'll see what happens if it's Patrick or who, but maybe Quintana. I don't know
that. See, that's it. You just got to keep them guessing. You got to keep Craig Counsell guessing, which I will also say in conclusion, as the Brewers were, you know, piling on the runs, and I'm texting with a couple of friends going, do you know how much I would give right now to see the cutaway shots of Craig Counsell in the dugout? And sure enough, on social media, a few people were putting up these little 5-second clips of Counsell in the dugout. And it felt good. It really did.
I wish that we got, there was a play earlier this year where somebody hit a home run against one of his pitchers and the ball is still in the air and he's turning around to go to the bullpen.
Oh, gosh, Doesn't that feel good? Anyway, Badgers lost. The football team lost, but apparently they won in sense of they didn't get embarrassed. So we got that going for us.
I take it.
And they'll play Iowa this coming Saturday, and the coverage will begin at 9 a.m. on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. We will continue here live from Dallas in just a bit. Thank you for joining us all across Wisconsin and, well, as Jane Mattner likes to say, worldwide through the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, well, let's start this segment off with a little correction here on the Badger football game coming up this Saturday. That is actually a night game at Iowa, taking on Iowa for their homecoming. And so 6 o'clock is the kickoff. The pregame begins Saturday, 4 p.m. 4 p.m. Saturday for Badger football on some of the stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. A new headline that came in just in the past few minutes that there will be a vacancy on the Wisconsin Court of Appeals as Judge Lisa Neubauer has announced her retirement from the court coming up at the end of July next year. After 18 years of service, she will not be a candidate for reelection. Neubauer at one point was also a state Supreme Court candidate, but will now be retiring from her spot on the Court of Appeals. It's also on the Court of Appeals where you find two of the current candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Maria Lazar, conservative, announced her candidacy last week, and she'll go up against Chris Taylor, former Democratic State Assembly rep. Court of Appeals races are kind of things that we just don't talk about in Wisconsin very much at all. It's very rare that incumbents are challenged, although Maria Lazar, who is well-funded by Republican and conservative causes, had unseated an incumbent judge when she was first elected. And they are, much like state Supreme Court seats, becoming more politicized. So along with the race for governor and, of course, Congress, the legislature, all the midterms that are out there, there will be a few different races for appeals court judges in Wisconsin. Those are held in April, same time as the state Supreme Court election, which means that over the next few weeks here, we're going to start to see some candidates starting to file for those positions, and we'll keep you updated here as well. All right. Well, of course, it's a Monday, which means it's time to tell you what's happening in the Up North News daily newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. We talked to Ellie last Wednesday for the first time, Ellie Bordeaux, our new editor, and we'll hear from her on Wednesday mornings right after the 7 o'clock news about some of the stories that she's working on. For example, today, and today, by the way, we go back to 5 days a week, Monday through Friday newsletters. They had been Monday, Wednesday, Friday for a time, but we're back to 5 days a week. This is Banned Book Week. Banned Books Week, Ellie writes. The American Library Association and the Banned Books Week Coalition have deemed this year's theme as "Censorship is so 1984. Read for your rights." And, you know, we've talked about book bans with our friend Laura Ann Bird here as well. But the newsletter tells you much more about banned books. And as Ellie writes, a reminder that every challenged story represents a voice that someone tried to silence. And she asks if you have read any books that have been banned and maybe changed the way that you see the world. Let's see. She's also got in here an article about apple picking time in Wisconsin and which ones are best. I mean, all apples are not the same. And the apples that you might make a caramel apple out of are not necessarily the best that you'd use for apple crisp or applesauce or apple pie. So if you're not familiar, which one's best for what it is that you want to do with that apple? Our newsletter's got an article about that. And also one more story here. It's all about the Ice Age Trail and how there is this annual hiking challenge that takes place in October, encouraging people to get out and see parts of the Ice Age Trail, which I have to admit is a bucket list item of mine. I've been talking about the Ice Age Trail, you know, forever, it feels like. It is this trail that helps highlight the edge of when the glaciers came down through the last ice age, the extent of their reach before they began their retreat once again, and of course have carved out all kinds of, you know, moraines and hills and other areas like that. And would make for great hiking. Nothing you could ever do in, you know, in a day or even a year, because the trail segments, they're not all contiguous and they're long. They curve all over throughout the state. And so there are different sections that are more popular than others, and you can read about that in our newsletter as well. And then one more newsletter note, of course, on Sundays, we have my Sunday morning newsletter with a look at, politics in Wisconsin and nationally. And then we also have a question of the week in there as well. And the question of the week this week is advertised as our first way too early poll for Wisconsin governor. And we this time around concentrate on the Democratic side of things because there are so many candidates who are in the race already. There's just the two main ones on the Republican side right now, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Congressman Tom Tiffany. So we will do a poll about the Republican candidates at some point, but I put out a poll with the Democratic candidates, the ones that have announced and the ones that are rumored to still be interested in getting into the race, and asking if you have a preference right now. And once again, the responses really start to flood in at 6 a.m. You know, once this thing hits the mailboxes on Sunday morning and throughout the course of Sunday, I'll see answers coming with all kinds of reasons why people would vote for Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, or maybe they'd vote for State Representative Francesca Hong or State Senator Kel DeRoy's, all the different ways that people are looking at the various candidates and wanting to let me know, you know, their two cents on who they think is their favorite right now. So we will collect those responses throughout the week, and you can do the same. You can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. And then for those of you listening to the radio show, you can take part as well. Send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And let us know who right now, you're not locked in. You can change your mind next year. But right now, who would be your choice for the Democratic primary for governor? All right, we'll pause here. Dr. Kristen Lierley and Selena Heller will be along, and we will talk everything from The Who as a TV soundtrack to the first talkie motion picture and the song that was in it on this day in history coming up tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
The harvest season can take more than a toll on a physical body. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. This is Rural Mental Health Week, and we're drawing attention to some of the stories that farmers are sharing on things like social media. That's up next.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers do battle with Mother Nature every day. They can't control commodity prices. And just like you and I, they have family. Josh and Liz Steiner are first-generation dairy farmers in Monroe in Greene County. 21 years ago, they lost a child that changed their world entirely. Today, Josh and Liz are reminding farmers that it's important you talk about some of those challenges you face, not just with your family members, but with those outside your circle.
And I encourage people to, I call it de-stressitizing, but you've got to get away from the problem for a while, whether it's a mini vacation or just a daycation with the family or some buddies, or, you know, go out some night to eat with your spouse or your friends, or you got to get away to not think about everything at home, I think, is the number one thing, and I kind of stress that.
Josh Steiner, along with his wife, Liz, first-generation dairy farmers in Greene County that are now using social media as a way to connect with others that face challenges while farming. They're using TikTok as one of their platforms. Farm Talk is a community, they say, that helps to bring other challenged farm families together to share some of the weight.
What is the Dairyland seed difference? The answer is found in our difference makers. Our seeds are developed and delivered for unrivaled performance in and only in the Upper Midwest. Our local dealers, expert agronomists, and everyone throughout our organization who live to make life better on farms and in the community. It's our people, products, and pedigree that combine to make a true difference that you can see on the bottom line and feel in your heart. Learn more about our difference makers at DairylandSeedDifference.com.
And you might want to start shopping for that Thanksgiving turkey a little earlier this year. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Market Intel series says economic factors like disease challenges as well as high-path avian influenza have driven wholesale turkey prices up about 40%. That's a look at food news on a Monday. I'm PM Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time, maybe a rumble of thunder as well, a high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday, a high of 65. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matinera, Matinera on Air, will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome to today's history lesson for this Monday, October 6th, where we are joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well. Dr. Lyerly, hello, how are you?
I'm so good. Did you know about last weekend? I know you're not in Wisconsin, but oh my gosh, I recharged my battery with sunshine.
You've been raving about this weather, and I've been saying, well, down here in Texas, it's just, you know, the eternal quest to go from one shady spot to the other. The grandkids want to go to a playground, and this playground is built with, like, these big, they're not tarps, but, you know, shady areas just for the parents to sit in. So thank goodness needed that. So, yeah, I'm sorry I missed apparently the last great summer weekend in Wisconsin, but hopefully other people did enjoy. Did you or do you watch? I get NCIS and CSI mixed up. CSI, Crime Scene Investigation. Was that something neither one of you watched on CBS?
Yeah, it's a lot of acronyms.
That's a lot of acronyms out there. Anyway, CSI debuted on this day 25 years ago. Wow, 25 years ago in 2000. And Who Are You by The Who was the theme song. And then there were apparently three more series in the franchise, all with theme songs by The Who. There was CSI Miami, which had Won't Get Fooled Again, CSI New York with Bob O'Reilly, and CSI Cyber, I Can See for Miles. So there's we continue to do the TV premiere thing here in the autumn. Let's see, from Tony, Kristen is really energized by the weather. Nice to see, because she's so rarely upbeat. Sarcasm in parentheses. Did you overdo it with the yard work?
Yes, I did. I loved every minute of it.
Not even going to sugarcoat it. Yep.
I've never seen somebody so happy hurting herself so much.
I crawled into bed so sore and just like happy for the opportunity to get that way. But my yard looks amazing.
Well, okay. There you go. And again, the over-under on when Kristen has to go back into surgery. We're taking bets now as to where to put the over-under for that. But anyway, glad you had fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Back to the history lesson. It was on this day in 1927. It came the end of silent movies, the first widely released film that actually had an audio track. The Jazz Singer premiered. And here's Al Jolson singing an Irving Berlin song, hastening the death of silent movies.
Blue sky, smiling at me. Nothing but blue sky do I see. Vo-do-do.
You don't hear that enough in music nowadays, do you?
Vo-do-do.
Vo-do-do, do-do-do. Like, I'd hear that go. And again, remember, this is technology that blew people away back in the day. Like, wait a minute, you can attach audio to a movie? We can hear the people?
I think about this every time there's some big technological change that like sucks people in, and how people completely turn their back on the silent film because it just wasn't that interesting anymore.
Right.
It happens all the time, but now it happens at this pace where we don't even see it coming.
No, not at all. Let's see. Happy birthday to Kevin Cronin, lead vocalist for REO Speedwagon, who is 74 years old today.
And going strong.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around.
You can tell what a big REO Speedwagon fan I am with that. Thanks, Kristen, for the fix on that, for the save.
Hey, Upper Midwest, there are people. They're always around.
Also in the Upper Midwest, Chicago tavern owner Billy Goat Sianis bought a seat in Wrigley Field this day in 1945. He bought a seat for his pet goat for game four of the World Series against Detroit. Sianis and his goat were escorted out, and he cast the infamous goat curse on the Cubs, who would go a total of 108 seasons, 71 of them with the goat curse, before winning the World Series in 2016. And that was their one. It's going to be another 108 years, hopefully.
You could feel the goat on Saturday, too. Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes. That was, again, wow. I didn't see it. I'm just watching the updates. I'm going, this is so great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Couldn't happen to a better team. On this day in 1973, Cher's song about racial discrimination and mixed race children was the number one song in the country. Now, this, again, we're going back 52 years. It was a song written without any Native American input, and so the song gets wrong, a reference to Cherokee culture, but hopefully opened lots of eyes to the idea of, when it comes to, being a racist jerk, if you want to do that, fine. Don't be a racist jerk to children, okay? Actually, just keep your racist jerkness to yourself, if that's okay. Let's see. Here's a happy anniversary to country stars Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. It's your love. It just does something to me. It sends a shock. Coming off of last week's news about Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman breaking up after 19 years, it's nice to tell the story of Faith Hill and Tim McGraw getting married 29 years ago today. Those kids still seem to like each other, too. So that's good. Yeah. Let's see. They did for a time share their wedding anniversary with Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. They filed
not a very
paperwork.
Long time.
Not for a long. No, in fact, for all of 8 years. Well, they no.
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 Not
no,
even close.
Not even,
no.
Not even that close. It was they'd been married 8 years in 2004 when Britney Spears and Kevin Federline filed paperwork making legal their surprise wedding from a few weeks earlier. They would divorce about 2.5 years later.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a more appropriate anniversary for the times. Instagram was launched this day in 2010. So 15 years of Instagram so far.
That old.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. On this day in 2001 was the premiere of the UK super American Idol, a talent show called... Now, that's a tune that would go on to be used for American Idol, of course. And this pop idol debuted this day in 2001 with then unknown record producer and talent consultant Simon Cowell as one of the judges. A worldwide franchise, of course, would follow. Were either of you like big into American Idol during the early seasons?
Like, were you born, Parker?
Parker wasn't born.
No, I don't think. I remember it, though. My mom was big into it, but I didn't really care.
His mom was big into it, Pat. I liked it. I was a Kelly Clarkson fan.
Yes.
She was good. Remember, though, like to put it into the context of the time, what a jerk we thought Simon Cowell was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Boy,
yeah,
not that in this then. Day and age... No.
Still
back then, we were like, he's
he
a jerk.
Make jerk-like behavior more acceptable is really all it is. But anyway, that intro theme, by the way, that you're hearing, which was also later used for American Idol, was co-written by Kathy Dennis, who had a couple of early 90s hits. Have we got that one handy from Kathy Dennis there, Parker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Not what I was expecting here.
Oh, yeah. This is very early 90s, very much. The song Touch Me All Night Long. But I bring up Kathy Dennis because, I mean, along with she had a couple of hits, but she later went to full-time songwriting. She won a couple of Grammys. She co-wrote hits like Can't Get You Out of My Head by Kylie Minogue, Toxic by Britney Spears, I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry, and others. So, on this day in 2018, Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed and sworn on to the U.S. Supreme Court. Kristen shaking her head, as is pretty much all of America. To which, again, you have to give the line when talking about Brett Kavanaugh. I like beer.
I was wondering which line you were going to go for.
Likes his beer, yeah. And here's a story that goes way off on a tangent. Apologies in advance. But on this day in 1994, the Eagles had to postpone some dates on their Hell Freezes Over tour because Glenn Frey needed stomach surgery for diverticulitis. And the personal tie to this is that then the concerts were rescheduled. And we were in downtown Minneapolis the same night as one of the rescheduled conferences. We were going to some other event, bumped into somebody else who was going to the rescheduled Eagles concert. And they connected me with somebody that led to a job at the radio station in Eau Claire, which led to the TV job in Eau Claire. And all of the things that happened that helped my career cascade, all because Glenn Frey got diverticulitis. And I was able to bump into the right person when the concert was rescheduled.
Parker, did you just get a sense of like your grandmother going, do you know Aunt Rose?
Exactly.
Well, where she gets her hair done.
That's exactly what this is. And yet I will always
And she
be
knew
thankful.
Woodrow Wilson.
I always be thankful that Glenn Frey had issues with his stomach. So this is Child Health Day. This is National Noodle Day, National Coaches Day. And Parker, why do you have listed here National Badger Day in the UK? Is that a Wisconsin sports reference?
Because Badgers. Come on.
Because always Badgers. Yeah. It doesn't matter where you are.
If you can play the UK version of American Idol, then I can tell you that it's National Badger Day in the UK.
That's right. Here's to our UK Badgers, including my Irish cousin.
There.
Shout out to you.
Okay.
Virginia.
Yeah. And your Aunt Rose. Fine. Okay. We can all make the interesting references here. So, all right. Let's see what Parker's got for entertainment news to help us cover today.
Yes, yes, yes. You remember Snoop Dogg and how he was doing the Olympics over in Paris? He's doing it again for the Winter Games now.
Who would have thought? Back in the day when Snoop was like doing the regular rap thing, who would have thought that he would have become the personality that he is now?
Oh, I mean, he's not the only one. Like, Ice-T ended up doing the Law and Order. Just different stars who you think are just going to, or wrestling stars are another one. You think they're just going to stay in their lane. They're these bad boys or whatever. And next thing you know, they've gone mainstream because they know how to have fun with themselves. How not
LL
to take
Cool
themselves
J.
too serious. LL Cool J, another great example. Yes.
All the Dimensions. Yes. But not Eminem.
Nope. Not Eminem. He's,
What does Eminem do?
He still raps.
Is that all? I don't see him anywhere else.
At a little too old of an age, yeah.
No, he's still pretty. He's still doing his thing. He's angry person. He's got a lot of anger to get out.
Yes, yeah. There's definitely issues. Did either of you? I don't stay up late enough for Saturday Night Live, but you catch a little bit of Bad Bunny on there?
I caught some clips of it.
Yeah,
the monologue was fire.
Yes, taking aim at the MAGA critics who, and by the way, let me just state this for the record. And look, I'm not taking aim just at, say, Melania Trump, but as an example, people going, oh, Bad Bunny, he's from Puerto Rico, he's not even American. Being from Puerto Rico, Bad Bunny has actually been an American longer than Melania Trump has.
Yeah.
He's 2 years older than when she first came to the United States. All right. And Bad Bunny, I like his response about people didn't like that he sings and speaks mostly in English. And he's like, well, y'all got 4 months to learn Spanish.
Yeah, that was a great bit from his monologue. It's like, you learn it. Figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Not going to lie, I opened up Duolingo. I thought, why not? It's time.
See? I like that. All right. Along the way, we'll be joined by Up North News reporter Selena Heller, who has a story about the coming Trump cuts to Affordable Care Act subsidies and the very real life implications of making health insurance coverage that much less affordable. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
Born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Matt Nair on air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
It's
the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep. Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We are glad to put the spotlight on the community players of Southwest Wisconsin's Pride and Prejudice production going on next week, already next week, and it opens up. In the studio with us, director Sarah Hunt, and we have Andrew Sharp, producer, and we have a couple of the youngsters in the cast here, Gene Burkett and Sharon Zales, who will join us in a little bit. Oh, man, this looks like it's going to be a great production with the cast you have. Good morning to you, Sarah. Good to have you on here.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us on. We're happy to be here.
This is your first appearance, so it's a prerequisite. You got to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, sure. Yes. So I was born in Richland Center. I lived here until about second grade, and my family moved away. We lived all over the state of Wisconsin, and then my family had moved back some time ago. But I moved back during COVID, probably about 3 or 4 years ago. So I moved from a big city on the East Coast all the way back to small town, middle America.
Yeah.
Back to my roots. So it's been quite a difference, but it's been a fun experience to have my family around.
So theater and acting, has that always been a part of your life?
Yes, absolutely. I started in middle school because I was terrified of public speaking when you have, you know, speech class. It's a lot of people don't like that class. And I decided I needed to do something to make it fun for me. And being in forensics was how I got started. And then as I became an adult, I continued acting. I attended a conservatory program out east and also trained with a few private coaches and had a lot of fun acting and auditioning out there.
So getting the chance to be a director, have you directed a lot of productions before?
Never.
Never? This is it.
This is, yes, my one and only directing.
So you have more of an appreciation for directors now, I'm sure. Right?
Absolutely. I just was thinking this past week about how often you see in a film where there's this secondary story sometimes where there's a director in the background who is losing their mind about all these things that are going wrong. And I thought, gosh, that's extra funny now, but I also know how they feel.
But we presume the things are going quite well behind the scenes, right?
Yes. All of the actors are doing so fantastic. They are so dedicated. They are learning their lines. We have Elijah, who just came on board last week, and he is just stepping right in. He's learning the accent that we're doing. He's getting his lines down already. And then we have Deer Hunter. He is 12 years old, and he is so dedicated as well. He has his lines. He's playing a soldier. He's really working on his posture and movement, and it's just fantastic.
Pride and Prejudice, did that inspire you to want to step up and direct when you heard that was what the production was?
Well, I'm the one who presented it. I love Jane Austen so much, and this is just such a good story, and it's been around for such a long time. This is actually Jane Austen's 250th birthday this year. And so it's just perfect that we're doing this play, and it's such a great story. And I know, you know, we didn't have anyone to direct, so I said, okay, this will be my one time. I'll do this.
Was it a hard production to cast?
A few parts were difficult, but for me, you know, I knew pretty much within the first 30 seconds when most people came in to audition, I knew whether or not they could fit for the role that they wanted.
Mm-hmm. And you've got a wide age range in this cast, don't you?
We do. So Hunter is the youngest at 12, I believe, and then all the way to Jean.
What?
What? That's the age range.
Yeah.
I win the prize for age.
Yes, you do. Well, I have to say, Jean, when I read the cast, because they did a press release, and I did
I bet you said, is she still alive?
I had just seen you, so I knew you were still alive. But I did a double take. I'm thinking, Jean Burkett? Yeah, all these years you told people where to go, basically, and now you've got to step up to the plate and be an actress, right?
That's right. That's right. It is a different role, but I love Jane Austen just as our director does, and Pride and Prejudice is the first show I put on when I was employed at UW-Richland.
Really?
In 1973. And I just thought, I've got to be a part of that one way or another. And she was kind enough to include me. and I'm worrying about learning my lines. I've screamed at students, and now I've got to do it myself. But it's a wonderful cast, I think. And it's such a great story. It's got humor in it. It's got romance in it. It's a period piece. There's just no reason everybody shouldn't come and see it.
Absolutely. I'm guessing you in your classes talked a lot about Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, students read it as the novel that it was. Mm-hmm. And I just always included it because it's such a good example of the period it was written in. And Jane Austen was a wonderful woman, and, she tried to sell the novel and offer it to the world, and nobody wanted it, and it was first called First Impressions, and then ultimately a year, when she really was trying to sell it, or offer it, I should say. I don't know what the market was for money in those days. But then a year later, it did sell, and it was just, you know, everybody loves it because it has such wonderful characters in it, and it is so well written. And her satire and her irony is just so wonderful in the show. I mean, in a sentence, she can demolish somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking of Jane Austen, the writer. And so, anyway, it's just a privilege to be part of all these young people.
Does it make you feel young again, Jean?
Well, no.
No?
No, but when you get on stage, you forget about age, and you just think about what you have to do. I don't always feel old, but I am old.
But, well, I know that people are really pleased to be able to be in the cast with you and things like that. And you share the part with Sharon.
Yes, right? I do. And she's marvelous. And she was my student. I would say 100 years ago, but that's an insult to her. It was a day or two ago, wasn't it?
It was
Sharon?
1 or 2 days ago.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The latest development in the use of National Guard troops in American cities. ABC's Jim Ryan with more on what's happening in Portland and Chicago.
A federal judge overnight temporarily blocked the deployment of any National Guard units to Oregon. Now the Trump administration is considering sending 400 troops from Texas to Illinois to stand watch over immigration and customs enforcement activities. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker calls it, quote, Trump's invasion. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he supports the move.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas. Israel and Hamas leaders are officially meeting in Egypt today, hoping to hammer out a potential ceasefire in Gaza. The discussions come on the eve of the devastating war's second anniversary on October 7th. Government shutdown now in its sixth day. Asked on Sunday when he might start firing federal workers who are currently furloughed, President Trump said it's taking place right now, and it's all because of the Democrats. Nobel Prize in Medicine.